What were the implications of the elections of 2006 for the pro-life movement? And what are the implications of the recent Supreme Court hearings on partial birth abortion? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director. And Janet, we have one of our team members on the telephone joining us today from Washington, D.C.
That's right. We have Dr. Paul Shank, and he's the Pastoral Associate here at Gospel Life and Priest for Life. And Paul has done a lot of work with us in the previous election cycle, like our whole team did. And I think what's happened in the pro-life movement right now, people are looking at what happened, those results, and people are being discouraged. But I'm sure Paul and yourself have some comments to make. But we have some things we can learn from what happened.
Well, there's no reason at all to be discouraged, and we will certainly make that clear during this program. Paul, thanks for joining us, and how are things in Washington?
Good to be with you. They're bright and they're sunny, and the weather's pretty decent, too.
Well, that's...
We have a lot waiting for us in store in this coming year, and we're very excited about taking on the biggest challenges yet.
Well, yes, we certainly are. We've certainly been through worse times in the pro-life movement, and we want to talk about some of the deeper analysis of the elections, and also about the partial birth abortion oral arguments for which, Paul, both you and I were present in the court for those arguments back on the 8th of November. But first of all, in regard to the elections, you know, it was certainly clear as the Democrats took control of Congress that not all the Democrats who won support were saying that they were supporters of abortion, and not all the Republicans who lost elections were supporters of life. It seems that the dynamics were very different than a referendum on abortion or values. Isn't that true?
That's true. In fact, there's a few things we should note. One is that there remains a pro-life majority in the House of Representatives. In the Senate, it is split 50-50 down the middle, and the deciding vote will be Joe Lieberman from Connecticut. And Joe Lieberman has philosophically aligned himself many times with pro-life. He has not voted pro-life. But once you reach the philosophical basis of pro-life, then getting to the voting pro-life is a much easier step. So it remains to be seen where the Senate will be. Of course, we still have the deciding vote in the United States Supreme Court, and that vote is Justice Anthony Kennedy. Otherwise, the court is split 50-50 on pro-life, so the question is where Kennedy will be on the partial birth abortion ban and also on other pro-life cases, which will be before the court this year. And when it comes to those coming up to the Hill, we have to look at what happened in the election. There was a decided shift in the House of Representatives. Those that were running, a number of them, a considerable number of them, 11 actually that are coming to the Hill and will be sworn in to the new offices, adopted pro-life terminology in their campaign.
In other words, the only way that the Democrats were able to take control in either the House or the Senate was that more of them presented themselves as pro-life.
That's exactly right. In fact, Democrats for Life, which is an organization that has existed, I think, since 1995, is actually claiming a victory because it was the pro-life Democrats coming to the Hill, the ones who won the election, that actually gave Congress to the Democrats.
So hopefully this means that the party itself will give more of a hearing to the Democrats for Life. I mean, both the organization and also the pro-life Democrats that are actually in power, right?
Right,
Janet? I mean, we interact with, as Paul said, he and you and I, interact with the leadership of Democrats for Life on a regular basis.
And this goes back to everything we said before the election, when we said you look at a candidate, it's not whether they have an R or a D after their name, it's where do they stand on the life issue. So, you know, these Democrats that got elected, the fact that they are more pro-life shows through that the people did analyze the candidates and did vote for the person who was what they considered the pro-life candidate.
One of the first questions we're going to put before this Congress is in a symposium in just a few weeks when we will be looking at life as a social justice issue. And we're going to be looking for leadership from both parties on this question. The presentation will be that pro-life is not a right-left, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat issue. It's a human rights issue. And so everyone needs to be on board for pro-life, and it's our purpose here in Washington with our Gospel of Life outreach on Capitol Hill to reach as many Democrats and Republicans as possible with the message of pro-life and to bring them over to defend and protect life.
Yes. Paul, I'm going to go through a couple of statistics here about how the people voted for whom abortion itself was a critical issue. But actually, before I do that, there were other dynamics at work here in the election that made the although a significant number of people took abortion into account in their vote, there were really other issues that the electorate seemed to be more concerned about.
That's true. In fact, even CNN, which is a liberal leaning and is not considered a defender of the religious point of view in America, has acknowledged that this election was, in one sense, a victory for what they call social conservatives, and on another level was not at all a question of the quote-unquote social issues. They were other issues of policy that overrode those. So there's no question we have our work cut out for us. I've been saying that in this past election and in the incoming Congress, pro-life, it was as if we took two steps forward, one step back. We need to take three steps forward, and we're ahead of the game.
Right. Yes. Now, there is always a percentage of the voters for whom abortion is a determining factor. And, of course, that's part of our message, isn't it, Janet, all the time, is that
that's
it
right.
Needs to be the number one
issue.
Determining issue, because it's the core. Yeah, it's the core of every other right we have.
Right.
In this past election, 36% of voters said that abortion in some way affected their vote. Doesn't mean it was the number one factor, but it affected their vote. Of those 36%, 23% voted pro-life, and only 13% voted pro-abortion. And this is consistent with the results we see in previous elections, that among those for whom abortion influences their vote, they vote pro-life 2-1.
That's right.
And we maintained that momentum and we maintained that advantage. And that kind of an advantage actually is enough because so many races are so close. It's the pro-life increment that puts some of these candidates over the top.
That's right.
Now, there's another aspect of this question that is a factor that has not been discussed very much at all, if any, in the media. That is that the states have taken more and more of a lead in pro-life legislation. And many people in the country may have felt that the momentum is in the states and so are looking to the federal government less for leadership on pro-life issues than they are their own state governments. And the state governments are definitely taking the lead now in pro-life legislation. So that's a factor that may be down the line a bit, but nevertheless may have influenced the outcome and what has taken place in Congress as well.
Yes. Well, we'll take a little break, and brothers and sisters, stay right with us, because after this break, we'll continue to analyze election 2006, and we'll talk a little bit about the Supreme Court with our guests, Dr. Paul Shank, and also with Janet Moran. Stay with us.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, Where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. We're joined here with Janet and also with Paul Shank, who's on the line with us from our Washington, D.C. office, right under the shadow of the Supreme Court, right across the street from that building. And, you know, we're talking about the election results here. I wanted to share a couple of other statistics and get your thoughts on this. The Susan B. Anthony List, Janet, as you know, is an organization that supports female pro-life candidates. And the Emily's List is on the other side of the coin, the pro-abortion political action group. You know, it was interesting. In election of 2006, Susan B. Anthony List won 17 out of the 29 races that it funded and endorsed. That's 59% of victory. Whereas the Emily's List, who far outspends all the pro-life groups put together, won only 13 out of its 30 chosen races. That's a 43% victory rate. And then when you compare how Emily and the races, when you look at the races where Emily's List candidate was running against the candidate backed by the National Right to Life Political Action Committee, guess what happened? Again, Emily's List far outspending anything on the Right to Life side. The National Right to Life Political Action Committee won 14 out of 18 races. That in which the opposing candidate was an Emily's List supported candidate. Isn't that amazing?
That's right. I mean, they have at least, I mean, they're outspending at least 10 to 1 in money. And yet we were more victorious, which shows that people are still going to the voting booth and still, you know, what we've been saying, looking at life as the foundational issue. And they're taking that to heart when they look at candidates.
Paul, is what's the mood there in Washington as change of power occurs?
Well, of course, so much remains to be seen. It remains to be seen how many Democrats are willing to take the lead on pro-life issues. It remains to be seen what the Senate is going to do. It remains to be seen what Justice Kennedy, the Supreme Court. So it really is a time of anticipation, of expectation. That doesn't mean we're sitting about waiting for them to act. We are acting now. We are reaching out to Congress. We have just launched a program to communicate the pro-life message to every congressional office on Capitol Hill. That's pretty daunting these days, with security being what it is, being able to get to the offices and get the information into their hands. We're already beginning to build good rapport and relationships with the new incoming members of the Congress. And so we're working overtime to reach Capitol Hill, and of course that's our purpose being here. Gospel of Life Ministries is here to reach out to the members of Congress to give them the information, the education, the inspiration they need to better form their consciences so they will make better decisions. Our purpose is to change public policy one policymaker at a time. So it's very labor intensive, it's very prayer intensive, and we're reaching out. So it really is a time of waiting to see who will emerge on some of these issues. We want to be a resource and encouragement, a source of inspiration to them.
Let's talk about the Supreme Court for a moment. You know, one of the concerns, of course, is if there's another vacancy on the court, will the results of the election affect that adversely? That is, our chances of getting someone on the court who really supports a view of the Constitution that does not find rights emanating from the penumbras and leading to things like abortion on demand. And I think one encouraging fact along these lines is this, that Justice Thomas, although he had quite a rocky road to confirmation, was in the end confirmed. And that was a Congress where where the Senate, the Democrats had control of the Senate for the when Justice Thomas was confirmed. 57 Democrats and only 43 Republicans at that time. And so that is something that, and of course he was a Republican appointee, that is something that should be borne in mind at this point in time, because we could be facing the same kind of scenario in these coming 2 years.
And the Democrats that were in control of the committees in those days were much more extreme than the Democrats that will be in control of this Senate.
Yeah.
So it was not only a Democrat-controlled Senate, it was an extreme extreme liberal Democrat-controlled Senate, which is not the case with the Senate today. If we believe in the term moderate, there are more moderates among the Democrats in the Senate today than there were in Thomas's day. And when we look at the Senate itself, when we look at the court itself now, the court has been definitely going in the direction of giving more and more leeway and power to the states. And Justice Kennedy has been coming along that way over the last half a dozen years and more intensively in the last 3 years. So I think we're going to see a court that is much more inclined to allowing the states to enact pro-life legislation and not challenge the state's authority in that regard.
You know, before we go to the partial birth arguments before the Supreme Court, one other little fact I had here about the election outcome. Michael Schiavo, the estranged husband of Terri Schiavo, who was killed by dehydration, you know, has become politically active, and he endorsed a number of candidates who were running against people in office who had tried to help save Terri. Well, guess what happened? Every single one of those candidates that Michael Schiavo worked for and endorsed
lost.
Lost. Right. So that's an encouraging little piece of news. Anyway, Janet, you were there in front of the Supreme Court on November 8th when they heard the partial birth abortion arguments. Tell us what was happening outside the court, and Paul and I will say a word about what happened inside.
Well, outside the court, I was there with the women of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and the women were holding their signs, you know, I regret my abortion, and we had a big banner that said, women do regret abortion. We were standing and praying while those cases were being heard, because, you know, the women have a big interest in seeing these laws passed, because they know from experience that abortion did not solve their problem. It created all these other problems. So we felt it was important to be there as a witness. Mm. Of course, the National Organization for Women, they had some women there, too.
Not quite as many.
And they only stayed for a little while. Mm. I mean, they don't have a sense of endurance. You know, it was raining. See, and we stood in the rain anyway in our prayerful presence. And by the time they left, the sun came out a little bit. So it just goes to show you.
There were many other people there, too, weren't there?
There were. There were a lot of people from Gospel Life Ministries, Priests for Life, different from people from different denominations and reverends. There was a big presence of young people there. Youth groups were out there praying. They were really there, I think, as a witness to say that we want the court to look at this case and uphold the ban, because really, you know, the people have spoken. This is a law passed by both the Congress and the Senate, signed by the president. So the people have spoken. They want partial birth abortion ban. So it was exciting time to be in front of the court at that moment, because I think it's a moment in history.
Right at that moment. And Paul, you and I were on the inside. We only have about a minute, but your thoughts on what happened?
Well, I think Justice Kennedy demonstrated himself to be quite tormented by this question. The justices who would expect to be pro-life seemed to indicate through their line of questioning or their lack of questioning that, in fact, they were. I wouldn't be surprised if the court split. If Kennedy split on this, he would perhaps strike down one, which would be the federal ban, and he would uphold the other, which would be a state ban. I'm not sure about any of that. I think it just remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Of course, Justice Kennedy was the one who upheld the ban on partial birth abortion in the previous case 7 years ago.
So that's a positive. Well, Paul, we look forward to a lot more good work in Washington, which we will do together throughout this year, together with you, Janet, and all our supporters and all of you brothers and sisters. So, Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, friends, for being with us. Now, stay with us, because we'll have our action segment. Meanwhile, on the things that we've discussed today, the partial birth ban and further implications of the elections, keep going to our website, gospellife.com, and you'll get constant updates there. Now, stay with us. We'll be right back.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Happy birthday to you.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome, friends, to our action segment where Janet Moran, our associate, and I talk to you about practical things you can do to advance the cause of life. And today we're going to talk about the Silent No More Awareness Campaign.
Well, you know, Father, as you know, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign is where men and women who've experienced abortion but come through healing stand out in a public way at our gatherings and hold those signs that I regret my abortion, and the men have a sign that says I regret lost fatherhood. We'd like people out there that are interested in bringing that type of gathering to their community. We would be happy to help them do that. We need regional coordinators. It doesn't mean you have to have had an abortion to be a regional coordinator, but you'd like to have this kind of an event. They can go to the silentnomoreawareness.org website, and they can send us an email through that website, and we'll be happy to be personally in touch with them and see how we can bring the campaign to their community. But then we'd like to help them spread the message of the campaign by using the various products we've developed. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we have bumper stickers, both in the regular kind that are, you know, sticky to go on the car, or a static sticker. We have mugs. We have pins now, nice big round-sized pins that say, I regret my abortion, or the women do regret. Everyone can wear a pin, or every woman can wear one that says, women do regret abortion.
Right, because that doesn't mean
that
they had one. But
right.
It's spreading, it's counteracting the myth, isn't it, that
yes.
That abortion is somehow a benefit to women. It's not. Those who have it are the best testimonials that this, in fact, it doesn't solve your problems, it brings more problems.
That's right. So again, with the women do regret abortion saying, we have the buttons, we have the mugs, we have T-shirts, they can wear the T-shirts. I know a lot of the youth groups, there's a pro-life T-shirt day. Why not wear a T-shirt that says, women do regret abortion? And then finally, we have big vinyl banners. These could be hung in a school gymnasium, a church hall, if you're having a rally. And again, with the message, women do regret abortion. And then we have another one that has a lot of the women who've had abortion. They're pictured there standing in a group, women of different ethnical backgrounds. And the caption says, we regret our abortion. If you do, there's help. And there's a hotline number that you can call, plus our web address. I mean, a banner like that hanging in a high school or college gymnasium, can you imagine the effect that that will have? You know, a lot of these kids are the ones who go off and have abortions, but if they see there's people who said this wasn't good, a good thing to do, it might stop some people from going down that road. So we'd like them to use these products to help get the message out that abortion is not good for women.
And people have, of course, their own websites, and to link to silentnomoreawareness.org is another way to promote the campaign. And also to link to the specific testimonies that are on the website. One could make a link specifically to the testimony that has been given by one or another of these women or men, and let people who visit your website know about it. Similarly, sending out the link through one's email list. And also, pastors in churches can promote the campaign, first of all, by putting it on their church website, by telling their congregation about it through mailings that go out, and also by inviting one of these women or men to say something to the Sunday congregation at the end of the service and to share their testimony from the pulpit. Many have done this, and it's a tremendous way to lead the congregation to a deeper awareness of why abortion is wrong.
Yeah, if any questions they have in that regard, Father, they can email us at mail@silentnomoreawareness.org, and we would love to get back in touch with them, get a post-abortive person to speak in their church, help to get a gathering in their community. So they want us. We want them to really help us to get this message out. Because, you know, a lot of people cling to choice because they somehow think abortion is good for women. If they get the message out there, more and more people will be converted to the pro-life message.
So, again, in order to facilitate a gathering where women will come together and say, I regret my abortion, we're not saying that they're the ones who have to find the women.
No.
We actually have women on our database ready to share about this in their own local community. This is just a facilitator to help organize the event.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes. So just contact us at Gospel Life, like I said, the Silent No More Awareness website, and we'll be happy to put them in touch with the women who want to make that event happen in their community.
Okay. Thanks, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. We want to hear from you. Be in contact with us. We'll get you some of these products for the campaign eagerly to share with you and with those you associate with the message not only that abortion hurts women and that women regret it, but that there is hope and healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spread that positive message and continue to defend life.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked, and I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
Some defend the practice of legal abortion by using the slogan, freedom of choice. The sad irony is, women don't get abortions because of freedom of choice. They get them because they feel they have no freedom and no choice. They feel trapped, abandoned, desperate, afraid. And sadly, they feel there's no one to help them except the abortionist. The good news is that the pro-life movement and the church are ready to provide better choices than abortion. No one has to abort her child in order to solve her problems. Would you help to spread that good news? Tell people who may be in those situations of a pregnancy they feel they cannot handle that there is a better choice and the pro-life movement is ready to offer. Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospeloflife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website and thank you.